The trouble is that firms cannot access certain types of trade financing, thanks to regulations and risk. As a result, in 2015, the volume of global trade financing fell $1.6 trillion short of businesses' needs, according to the Asian Development Bank. The worst affected companies were small and medium-sized businesses, whose requests for trade financing were rejected by financial institutions 57% of the time, compared to only 10% for requests by multinational corporations. Because borrowers' ability to access trade financing depends on the condition of their balance sheets, and because there is uncertainty regarding the enforceability of contracts, it is often prohibitively expensive for companies to secure capital. Companies and banks, in short, have yet to scratch the surface of trade finance's potential. Unlocking it could reduce friction in international commerce, broaden the distribution of the gains from trade, and encourage higher economic growth. It is here that blockchain has a role to play. Risk and regulation. There are a few major impediments to the growth of trade finance. The first are the capital constraints introduced by the Basel II and Basel III regulatory frameworks, which were developed by a committee representing the central banks of the G10 countries in 2004 and 2011, respectively. Basel II and III sought to protect banks' balance sheets from economic shocks, yet they have also stifled the ability of commercial banks to secure trade financing. Start with Basel II. That accord required banks to keep enough capital to cover the obligations from financial instruments for at least a year, in an attempt to better insulate the banking system from economic disruptions. But trade finance instruments, which focus on short-term transactions, tend to mature more quickly than that. An average of some 80 to 147 days after they are issued, according to the International Chamber of Commerce. As a result, Basel II encouraged banks to move away from the shorter-term financing that supports supply chains and into riskier assets with longer maturity periods. The Basel guidelines have since exempted some forms of trade finance from this requirement, but many are still affected. As for Basel III, it requires banks to incorporate financial instruments that had historically been kept off their balance sheets into their calculations of leverage ratios, a measure that effectively weighs a bank's capacity to fulfill its financial obligations. Trade financing instruments fit that bill, and the result was that the regulation made some banks' leverage ratios appear riskier than they actually were. The financial services organization, BAFT-IFSA, estimated that banks' capital costs for trade financing would rise between 18 and 40% when the Basel III regulations first came out, without a commensurate increase in returns. Naturally, banks prefer to have higher yield assets on their books. As a result, the rule suppressed trade financing. In January 2015, after a backlash from the trade finance industry, the Basel Committee ruled that banks would have to account for only 20% of the value of trade finance instruments when calculating leverage ratios. But that change has been implemented unevenly. Then there are so-called anti-money laundering and know-your-client regulations, which seek to provide international standards for the prevention of financial fraud. These impede trade financing by making the process and paperwork involved in executing transactions more arduous. Counterparty risk, the risk that a buyer or seller is not financially sound, and performance risk, the risk that a party will fail to fulfill its contractual obligations, are the other limits on trade financing. High levels of these risks make it costlier for financial institutions to issue letters of credit and other financing instruments. Unchained. Banks are already working to digitize their trade finance transactions to reduce costs and boost security. Some, for instance, are creating consortia that will standardize and integrate the activities of financial technology firms. Such changes could produce cheaper, faster, and safer transactions. But those benefits alone are not enough to overcome the main source of the deficit in trade financing: risks and regulation of the kind introduced by Basel II and III.